Last year, if someone had asked you the question, "What are your plans for 2020?" you may have said something like this: "Well, I'll be taking 3 months of annual leave from April to June, and I'll be going to Europe." Or, "I'll be celebrating my uni graduation." Or, "I'll be aiming for a promotion at work." Or, "I'll be getting married." Or, "I'll be buying a house." Or, "I'll be having a big party for my 60th birthday." Or, "I'll be making time to go to the footy every weekend." For some of us, COVID-19 has brought inconvenience through the delay of work projects and uni degrees. For some of us, it's brought frustration with the implementation of remote learning. For some of us, it's brought deep disappointment with the cancellation of overseas holidays. For some of us, it's brought uncertainty as we try and plan for weddings and big birthday celebrations. Others have experienced the sadness of not being able to visit family and friends or being able to meet face to face as a church community. I know I've certainly missed seeing many of your faces on a Sunday. For some of us, COVID-19 has brought significant grief and loss through the loss of jobs, health, and life, not even to mention the tragedy and devastation that's happening worldwide, particularly in countries that lack the healthcare and resources to fight it. This week, we begin a new sermon series which we've called Reflections in Lockdown. In the midst of Melbourne Lockdown 2.0, we're beginning the series by asking the question: everything's changed, but is God still in charge? Is God really in charge of the world? And more specifically, is God really in charge of my life? And if he is this actually good news? Our culture loves personal freedom, choice, and control. But COVID has made it crystal clear for us that we are not the ones in charge and that our plans don't always come to fruition. Even when we reflect on a normal year, things challenge our thinking that we're the ones in charge. And this really shouldn't surprise us. This isn't a new thought, as this very point is raised in the New Testament in the letter of James, which we'll be looking at today. James chapter 4, verses 13 to 14 says, "Now listen, you who say, 'Today or tomorrow we'll go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money.' Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow." Amidst COVID-19, it has become abundantly clear that we literally do not know what tomorrow will bring. We might plan one thing, but then we turn on the TV and Dan Andrews tells us that sadly the cases are rising and things have changed once again. We suddenly have to set up again for remote learning or apply for a new job or go back to meeting as a growth group on Zoom or get that puzzle back out of the cupboard. But why don't we know what tomorrow will bring? Why don't things always go the way we plan? Well, we're not God, we're human. And more than that, ever since the fall in Genesis 3, we are broken, which means that we have a sinful nature. The Bible tells us that the wages for our sin is death, which means that our life is fleeting. James 4:14 says, "What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes." As sinful humans in a broken world, we ultimately don't have control over what happens in our lives and when our lives will end, which means that our plans, whether they're short-term or long-term, don't always play out the way that we anticipate. What about God and his plans? Well, unlike our plans, the Bible is abundantly clear that God's plans always come to fruition. He's always been there since the beginning of time, and he will always be there. He is all sovereign, which means that he does all that he decisively wills to do. Ephesians 1:11 says that he works all things according to the purpose of his will. Yes, that's all things. We see examples throughout Scripture of just how all-encompassing this sovereignty is. We see that he governs the weather, animals and plants, sickness, prison doors, and the hearts of kings and nations. No force outside of himself can thwart or frustrate his will, not even Satan, who can only work within God's limitations, as we see in the book of Job. Satan is not in charge. We are not in charge. God is in charge. So if God's in charge and we are not, is this actually good news in the midst of COVID-19? Well, throughout Scripture, we read that God is perfectly righteous, which means that he always does what is morally right and just. Human beings are clearly not righteous, so God would be well within his rights to withhold his goodness and love from us. But in his abundant grace, he pours out his goodness, care, love, and compassion on us. In fact, we see his meticulous sovereignty play out in the way that he cares for us. Jesus speaks of how the Father knows how many hairs are on your head. Not only this, but God also knows our pain. In John chapter 11, the Jesus who is sovereign is the same Jesus who weeps at the tomb of his friend Lazarus. Our sovereign God knows us deeply, loves us deeply, and understands our pain deeply. Now, if this is the case, it sparks the question, why then does God allow COVID to exist? And why doesn't he bring it to an end? Well, tragically, as sinful humans living in a broken world, horrific things like COVID happen. However, God, in his sovereignty, turns evil for good. As Joseph says to his brothers at the end of Genesis, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good." Nothing surprises God, not even COVID-19. This isn't something that's caught him off guard. He always has a good purpose. Now, while we of course cannot see everything that God is doing for his glory in the midst of COVID, when we take the time to pause and reflect, we can notice small glimpses of the goodness that he is bringing out of it. For example, he's shaping us in Christ-likeness through growing us in the fruits of his Holy Spirit. He's growing us in kindness as we keep our physical distance to protect others, and goodness as we drop off food to those who can't leave their homes. He's growing us in love as we slow down our hectic lives to spend more time with those in our household, and self-control as we engage in remote learning with our kids. He's growing us in gentleness as we care for those around us who are exhausted and frustrated, and faithfulness as we still remain connected to others, even when Zoom fatigue is a real thing. He's growing us in joy as he weans us of our earthly desires and helps us to find our ultimate joy in him. Patience in the midst of another 6 weeks of Melbourne lockdown, and peace as he teaches us to let go of our own plans and to trust in him. God turning evil for good is simply seen in a microcosm amidst COVID-19. The ultimate example we have of God enacting this is seen in Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection. In his abundant love, God has decisively and sacrificially intervened into our broken world to save us from our sin and to defeat the power of evil and death once and for all. And this same one who sacrificed himself for us on the cross is the one who is ruling on the throne of the universe. Hebrews 1:3 says that after Jesus had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Father. And we also know that one day he will return to make everything right once and for all. Whatever happens, whether we live or die, God has the best plan for our lives according to his greater purposes, and we are safe in his hands. As Romans chapter 8 from verse 28 says, "We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified." Again, it's in all things that God works for the good of those who love him, from the very beginning to the very end of time. God's plan and purpose for his world and his people is rooted in his indescribable love for us. We read later in the same chapter from verse 38. "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." No matter what comes, we have a God who loves us more than we could ever imagine and who has promised to fulfill his purposes in us, whether we live or die. Literally nothing can separate us from God's love and his purposes for us, not even COVID-19. And this is something that Paul says we should be absolutely convinced of. The world is a messy place to live in. We don't know what tomorrow will bring, and we don't know when death will come. It would be nice if we could wake up in a predictable and safe world where everything went to plan. It'd be great to live in a world where we never got sick, where our homes were never burgled, or where our cars never crashed. If this were the case, we wouldn't need any health car or home insurance. It'd be wonderful to live in a world where COVID-19 didn't exist. But this is not the world we live in. We are broken humans who live in a broken world, which means that things like viruses and death tragically happen. In the midst of this, we may not be in charge, but we do believe in a God who is completely in charge despite all of these uncertainties, and we can absolutely put our trust in him. But what about our plans? Is it wrong for us to plan for the future when we don't know what's going to happen? No, it's certainly not a bad thing for us to have plans for our lives, but we do need to hold our plans out to God with an open hand rather than a tight fist and say to him, God, this is what I want to do, but ultimately you are in charge, and whatever may happen, I'm going to keep trusting you. Henry Martyn was a 19th century English Christian missionary to India and Persia who ended up dying of the plague, which is like the coronavirus, when he was 31 years old on October the 16th, 1812. He wrote in his journal in January of that same year, "To all appearance, the present year will be more perilous than I've ever seen, but whether I live or die, may Christ be magnified in me." Like Martin, let us keep trusting our God in the midst of our present uncertain times. And a sign that you're still doing this is that you still pray regularly. Let's pray that God would use these circumstances for the glory of Jesus, and that our will would align with his will, and that his will would be done. James instructs us, verse 15, that instead of saying that in the future I will do this or that, we ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. In the early 1900s, people often signed off their personal letters with DV, which is short for the Latin term Deo Volente, meaning God willing. By using this mark at the end of their letters, they were essentially saying that any given statement in the letter about a future planned action would be carried out as long as God willed it. Some people still use this to close their letters and emails today, or simply include in their speech the phrase God willing. This is quite a helpful reminder for us in a society where we're told that we're the ones in charge. We're often told that we're the ones who determine our own destiny. But the Bible is clear that there is in fact someone far greater in charge, someone whose will is far greater than our own. Our God alone is the one in charge, no one else, so we need to seek his will and not our own. To all appearance, 2020 may be more perilous than we've ever seen, but whether our plans come to fruition or not, whether life or death be ours, may Christ be magnified in us. Everything has changed, but God really is in charge, and this really is good news. May his will be done for the glory of Jesus. Amen.